Okay, so welcome everybody to our annual members meeting. I'm Ellen T. We haven't met before. I think I have met all of you. And we're going to have some presentations by our board members as follows. We'll start with James, who's going to talk a little about the organizational structure of BrightWay. And then Mick will give us an update on membership and attendance. Linda will talk about finances. I will give an update on our fundraiser. Erica will talk about volunteering and service opportunities. And then finally, Domia will talk about some future planning and give an update on that. So I guess without further ado, I'll hand it over to James. James, do you need co-hosting? Do you have any presentation? Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Now I'm thinking maybe I should have had something to present, but I don't. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone. I have met most of you virtually or otherwise. So, good to see you all again. I'm James Gregg. I'm the secretary for the board. I've been on the board since March of 2021. I had to go back and look. I'd forgotten when I started. My role, as Ellen alluded to, is to give you a little bit of background on BrightWay's End. This is particularly for folks who might be relatively new to us and may not have a lot of information about the history. I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible. They gave the person that likes to talk the most content, so I'm not sure if that was the wisest thing to do. But, so the purpose for this meeting, that we do this members meeting once a year. And it's a twofold for purpose. First of all, we are a 501c3 membership organization, so we are required by our own bylaws to hold a meeting like this on an annual basis. On a more practical level, though, it's just an opportunity for us to keep you apprised of what we've been up to, where we're at, where we're going, and make sure that everybody in the Sangha has an understanding of the direction that BrightWay Zen is taking and how we've gotten to where we are. So as far as the board members, as Ellen just gave you a quick rundown of who our various board members are, for those of you, again, who don't know, our board members are elected by a popular vote, if you will, to the board for a 3-year term. And usually candidates are selected from individuals in the Sangha who are somewhat invested. They've taken Jukai, perhaps. They provide financial support. They're regularly involved in Sangha events. And we have made great efforts in recent years to include at least one or two members who participate solely from the cloud. It's really nice to have that cloud perspective on things that we may be discussing in addition to dirt perspective. The board does meet once per quarter. Domio acts as our ex officio voting member and as the executive director of BrightWay Zen. And then each of the various members of the board have particular roles to fill. Again, I'm the secretary, and you'll hear from our other members as well. And they'll talk a little bit about their role and what aspects of the Sangha's operations they are responsible for. So just a little bit of background. I'm sure many people know some of our history and lineage. I just want to summarize that as briefly as I possibly can. The history of BrightWay Zen starts all the way back with Roshi Geo Kennett, who was a British woman, Peggy Kennett, her pre-Dharma name, a British woman who was invited to practice at Sojiji in Japan under her teacher, Kato Chisan, whose name we chant in our lineage service. She was transmitted there by him and then relocated to the United States, at which point she founded Shasta Abbey there in Northern California and began training disciples, two of whom are Kyogen and Gyokuko Carlson, who, after receiving transmission and practicing for a while at Shasta Abbey, relocated to Portland, Oregon to work as the priory here in the Portland area, and eventually founded the monastery that we call Dharma Rain Zen Center. In 2001, a very devoted practitioner of Dharma Rain Zen Center, known as Domio Burke, I'm sure you're all familiar with her, was ordained as a monk and began living in full-time residential practice there at Dharma Rain. She received Dharma transmission in 2010 and continued working for the monastery for about 11 more years after that time. During that time working for Dharma Rain, in 2008, she founded a group, a sitting group that was located on the west side of Portland called Westside Zen that would meet at a Methodist church over here. And I say over here because I'm actually physically located on the west side of Portland or Oregon area as well. If you're not familiar with the geography here, Dharma Rain Zen Center, when Domyo was practicing, was situated in East Portland. The building actually is still used for Buddhist practice, called the Portland Dhamma Center, and a Theravadin group practices there. But then they built their own campus in 2012. They built their own campus and moved even further east. So very, very far. From my house, it's about a 45-minute drive to Dharma Rain. So it was really nice to have practice under the Dharma Rain lineage in the on the west side of town. So Domyo resigned her position at Dharma Rain and the around that time period of 2011, renamed the organization Brightway Zen and began to gradually grow through the rest of that time throughout the 2010s, offering, you know, gathering larger and larger sangha, starting to offer meditation retreats and jukai. The board was formed during that time. There was a formal membership structure that was implemented. Regular financial support was implemented, things of that nature. In 2013, the group was able to move out of the Methodist church and into a lease on a new physical building. And this is the building that the Dirt Zendo is located in as we speak. Throughout the late 20-teens then, that Zendo space and the Sangha continued to grow and continued to add various offerings, different elements of the traditional Soto Zen calendar, such as Nehan and Sajiki and Resak, were added at that time. It was also during these late 2010s that we held the very first overnight Brightway Zen in conjunction, Brightway Zen Sesshin in conjunction with the White East Zen Center, a practice that we continue today and will continue in April, as Domyo alluded to. 2020 marked a very pivotal year, of course, for everybody around the world, but also marked a pivotal year for Brightway Zen. After we had to, obviously, we had to move all of our offerings to the cloud exclusively. And we actually kind of maintained a pretty steady growth. Fortunately, Domyo's Zen Studies podcast is very popular, and a lot of people find their way to Brightway Zen through that podcast. And with everything moving to the cloud, it opened up even more opportunities, because prior to 2020, we didn't have any kind of a virtual setting. It was all Dirt Zendo. So it was really actually kind of serendipitous in a certain way, obviously not in many, many, many other ways, but allowed us to grow our Sangha in the cloud. And then when we were able to move back into the Dirt Zendo in October of 2021, it inspired us to work very diligently to figure out how can we have a Dirt Zendo and a Cloud Zendo and make them one Sangha, and use, you know, technology, and how do we change around the offerings that we have, and to make all of the different events suitable for people who are both in the Dirt Zendo and the Cloud Zendo. Cloud participation has grown exponentially over that time. We're very, very glad to see that. We currently have around 95 pledging members, and about half of those folks are not local to the Dirt Zendo, meaning even if you wanted to come here, you couldn't. It would be very difficult too. That's what we mean by that. So currently we're seeing anywhere from 10 to 15, maybe 20 participants in the Dirt Zendo at any time, and usually anywhere from another 15 to 20 participants in the cloud. So it's very nice to see an even balance, almost even balance between our Dirt Zendo and Cloud Zendo participation. So that was a lot in a very short amount of time. Hopefully, if you have any questions or comments, there'll be time for that at the end. But yes, we good? Ellen, I'll throw the mic back to you.
Thank you, James. And now I guess we'll turn it over to Mick for our attendance and membership report.
Excellent. Hi, everybody. I'm Mick, and I am one of the aforementioned Cloud Zendo board members. I've been on the board I guess for almost a whole year now. The internet says, the website says I joined in 2022, which sounds right, I guess. So I'm in charge of membership. And just to give you an overview of what we do with membership, at some point, most of us here will have created an account through Neon CRM. There's like a form on the website, and essentially that allows us to count you as a member. Typically it's associated with setting up a recurring pledge, and we can kind of track our members. We have some basic information about our members. And so I'm in charge of that aspect of what we do. And so what I'm gonna show you is just some things that we look at during our board meetings about sort of like, what are our membership numbers look like? What do our donation numbers look like? And that sort of a thing. So that being said, we will go ahead and get to sharing my screen. Okay. So this is just to provide you just kind of a snapshot of what it looks like, specifically with some of the numbers that we have and where we're at with membership. So in 2023, we added 29 new members. And that number, that annual number for all of 2022 was 27. And for our new members, the monthly pledge amounts average about $30 a month. That number is down from about $34 in 2022. In 2023, you lost 14 members. So one of the things that we look at is this notion of member kind of like churn. So members that come and go. And so the 14 members that left is slightly down from 2022. Which puts us at a total of 100 pledging and non-pledging total members, which is up from 90 in 2022. So we're seeing some membership growth. We're currently receiving $3,832 a month from member donations, which is up about $150 from 2022. And the average monthly pledge from all members is $40. And it was $46.58 in 2022. And that's one of the things that we are trying to look at as a board, is this monthly pledge number that we're seeing kind of drip down. And we want to, it's not necessarily concerning. I mean, our membership growth is great, and we still are on very solid financial footing. It is one thing that we want to look at and try to understand what's happening with our monthly pledges as they move. So we have participant members and donor-only members. So the donor-only members typically are generous individuals who don't necessarily participate on a regular basis with Sanka, but they still support us financially. So we have 18 of those with 82 participant members. And our membership by type is, as James had alluded to earlier, it's almost an even 50-50 split between cloud and local members. And we define cloud members as people who will not visit the Dirt Zendo, who are either non-local or don't visit the Dirt Zendo for health reasons. And so this is just a little bit of the numbers that we're seeing. So this is, again, our individual pledge average of $40.06. Our donating members are, this is just taking out the few people that we have, a few members that are non-donors. So if we split out our membership donations through members that donate, that averages about $42.17. Our participant members who donate, again, that goes up a bit more for $46.59. And the big split that you can kind of see is laid out here, is that we have this big split between local members and cloud members. And one of the things that I'm really looking at doing, and we've made some progress in the last week on it, is to really go in and look at some more in-depth analytics at exactly sort of what's going on with these numbers, because sort of at a casual glance, just one just an idea to throw out at you is, it looks like the numbers seem to indicate that, like, wow, cloud members just don't seem to give as much as local members. But the other thing that you have to think about is that there are no cloud members that have been for more than 3 years. So there's also this effect of, well, you know, the Dirt Zendo, the local members, they have significantly longer tenured members. And so what we kind of want to be able to parse out is to be able to look at sort of like, how much does how long you've been in the Sangha affect your giving? How much does whether you're in the cloud or in the dirt affect your giving? And so lots of those statistics we're going to be able to look at. I actually just this week got a downloaded version of our membership database, and I can do some fun analytics with that. But that's where we're at with donors and annual membership. I think the like very short and condensed version of what I'm trying to say is that we're still continuing to see solid growth between for our members that we've seen trend over the last few years. There has been a slight dip in giving from those members, and so we're going to kind of look into those numbers a little bit. But all in all, it's it looks very good from a membership and donor standpoint. And I don't know, Ellen, do you want to wait until the very end if anybody has questions, or if anybody has questions for me? I don't know if they want to ask now, or if
anybody
wait until the end of the
meeting. Any question about membership and participation that you don't want to forget, I think it's perfectly fine to ask that now.
I've never tried using median instead of average, because that's the halfway point. And it, a lot of times it's more of a better measure. And I was wondering if you guys do exit interviews when people leave. Have you tried doing that?
Okay. So Domio does. So when a member leaves, it's not always exactly obvious. We don't get sort of like an email or a letter saying like, hey.
Right.
So usually sometimes it can be a little confusing, because typically pledges will stop and you don't know if maybe the credit card that they have on file expired or their PayPal reset for some reason. And so typically what happens is if it's a member, we do have a fair amount of what you might call sort of like short-term churn. And kind of like what I have in my mind for these people, these are people who probably listened to the podcast or came into the cloud, and they came a few times and they donated for, you know, say 6 or 8 months, and then they left. Typically those people we won't do exit interviews on. And this is mostly, this is more of Domio's domain than mine, but if it's someone who's been a member for some amount of time, Domio does reach out and just try to touch base with them as to, you know, what their future plans are and what their potential reasons for leaving. Yeah.
This has come up in the past, and I've always just said, you know, like, who's going to do it? It's just too much. But we actually have our whole membership tracking has gotten improved over the last 6 months or so, and Leah is actually helping us with that. So not only do when somebody joins as a member, we make sure, like, you know, you wanted to become a member, we make sure you started a pledge, then you get a little member packet in the mail with your chant book. Yeah. And Leah sends, we have a Google form which says, just like your, it's like your entrance interview in a way. How did you hear about us? Do you listen to Domio's podcast? What kind of things do you see yourself participating in? It's really short, but it's very informative. Not everybody fills it out, but it occurs to me it'd be very easy, because Lee is also doing that tracking of like, looks like somebody's drifted off, and she'll reach out and, you know, ascertain, do you want to end your membership or whatever? And it would be pretty easy to do a exit interview, at least like a Google form thing.
Right.
That we could invite people to, we can invite people to do. So that'd be a pretty easy thing to add to that.
Because the one thing that people will sometimes do is they just won't tell you. They just won't tell you why they're leaving. it's embarrassing or whatever.
Right.
But so maybe a Google form might be a
good way. And if there's anything on that form which suggests they had some kind of bad experience or something like that, and certainly like Mick said, like if somebody who's been around for years disappears, then I will reach out.
Okay. Well, thank you.
John asks on from the cloud, are these numbers, the membership numbers, post the recent fundraiser? And what are the non-recurring donations like?
So that number that Mick gives about the average. So if somebody gives annually, for instance, we kind of average that out. So people give a different frequencies, but we kind of do an average it out to think like this would how much they would be giving a month. And it's true that there are some intended pledge increases that people said from this fundraiser, which probably have not made their way into Neon yet, which is where Mick got his information. So my fingers are crossed because we got quite a few people, you know, heard our little message about like, you know, it's not possible, but if every member, every 100 of our members were able to give 100 a month, we would like be way closer to where we're hoping to be in terms of providing a full teacher salary and being able to afford a much more expensive rent when we get kicked out of this building, which is kind of an eventual thing. So a number of people responded to that. And fingers crossed, I think it probably will be a little higher coming in the
coming. Yeah, and that's just one of the things that was sort of like the easiest thing for us to do to maybe address the decline in monthly memberships is just to say, hey, look, you guys like, because we've really never messaged that out about like, you know, talking about monthly. We used to have on the website what the average giving was, but just sort of talking about, you know, we have goals, and in order for us to meet our goals, we'd like to have, you know, everybody pledging a little bit more. And I think that's probably just, and that came directly from kind of like looking at our numbers, like going down. And so we're going to continue to look at those things and make sure that, that we kind of are addressing those issues.
Okay. Should we move on to Linda to give us our finance report?
Hey everyone. Can I share my screen, Ellen? Maybe you already gave me that option. Okay. I'm going to share some budgeting information with everybody. And what's our income and where's the money go and all that kind of stuff. So this is the 2023 annual budget. And you can see this is broken down into the teacher salary, rent, which also includes utilities and all the equipment that makes the cloud Zendo possible, more durable equipment, long-term stuff. Session program events is $20,000. Administrative support, which is mostly, I think, all actually Lisa, who does all the newsletters and the websites and all that kind of stuff. Administrative expenses, so office Zendo supplies, membership software. Membership software, I think, is the big one in this. And then postage, insurance, advertising. We have business expenses, which is PayPal and bank transactions, and development, member packets, fundraising expenses, and then some miscellaneous little things. And our income. So the total expenses for the year, we anticipate, and remember, this is not actual. We have to tally that. Domio and I will meet. I'm as the treasurer and executive director, we'll meet in January and go over actuals based on this. And then that's how we go ahead and set the budget for the next year. Getting ahead of myself. Not letting me scroll down. Let me see. There we go. Can everyone see that? Yeah. Okay, so income. So regular contributions, and this is member pledges and individual donations. we estimated to be around $55,000 for the year. The annual fundraiser, which we set at $13,000, and session programs and events, we anticipated $24,500. So you'll see that we budgeted an income that's about $5,000 over expenses. And we do that because it's a cushion. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know, things come up, we might have more expenses. So we just want to make sure we have the funds to pay for actual expenses. And actually, the last board meeting, we went through actuals versus the budget for the first three quarters, and the regular member pledges were down about $2,800. So things like that happen. And like I said, we will only know the actuals in January, once we have all the financials details for the year. And we talked a lot in this last fundraiser about our teacher salary. You can see it's the biggest part of our expenses at 35%. And just to give, you know, we're talking a lot about living wage and this kind of thing. And I want just to give a little breakout of what that looks like. So for instance, an average clergy salary in the Portland, Oregon area is about $110,000. So we're pretty far from that. A living wage in Portland, Oregon for one adult and no children is $45,000. Minimum wage works out to be $32,000, and our teacher's salary is below that. So this is why it's been a real big goal for us to really get that salary up. And last year, in 2022, our teacher salary was $25,800. So it was, you know, we really are trying to increase that kind of substantially every year. And that's a something that we need to do. And then the other thing I wanted to touch base with just real quick is our savings. We have $31,793 in our savings account. These are kind of set aside as contingency funds. Contingency funds can protect us from bad fundraising year or unexpected crisis, provides accountability to our Sangha members that we're managing all these member donations in a sound way, and could allow us to take advantage of a sudden opportunity that may or may not have been included in the budget should one arise. So for not-for-profits, it's recommended that we have 3 to 6 months of a contingency fund. And so our monthly expenses, and this is, I got this number by taking our total expenses. I took out the session because with the income from the session, that kind of is a even. So total expenses less session divided by 12 is $5,636. And so our current savings will provide us with about 5.6 months of contingency should anything arise or should we need that. Does anyone have questions on this that I can answer?
Thank you, Linda. Thank you so much for that. And again, there will be time for questions at the end too. I'm going to move into my own.
Oh, hold on, Ellen. I just wanted
go ahead.
I just wanted to add, seeing as Linda was talking about the teacher's salary. And this kind of overlaps the strategic planning, which there may be time for me to get to at the end. You know, this is important, not just for me. I mean, obviously it's important for me. My husband will have to retire fully at some point, and he provides my health insurance and all of that. But in even a broader sense, a longer term sense, I really want to see our Sangha be able to offer a good salary to a teacher so that someday something happens to me or I retire someday, the Sangha can get a teacher that they really like, right? You don't have to go begging for like, is there somebody out there who's independently wealthy who can just devote yourself to our Sangha? You know, you might end up finding like some young priest who has children, who that's who you really resonate with and you want. You want to be able to, offer that person proper support so that you can get them.
Could I?
Jinryu, you have a...
May I?
Okay, go ahead.
Did I cut somebody?
No, go ahead. No.
I wanted to add something to that because it hasn't been said yet. And this is not about teacher salary. So I don't want to undermine that message. It's incredibly important. Awfully important as well. And I think people who don't live here don't understand this. At one point in time, Washington County, which is where we are, was the fastest growing county in Oregon. It might have been surpassed by Deschutes County, if anybody knows, that's Bend, but I'm not so sure that's happened. So we're in a very fast growing area with a lot of development. Out where we physically are, right next door to us was a Korean Baptist church with a fair amount of property that we used to use for parking. They have moved out and that property has been sold to developers. And we do know that the property that we rent has been attempted to be bought by developers, but our landlords didn't want to sell it. So I get goosebumps just saying everything I just said, because it is quite possible that the landlords could be made an offer that they cannot refuse. Mm-hmm. And then where will we be? And that in an environment that is incredibly fast growing, so much so that people can't afford to live this close to Portland anymore. So all of that I add as the importance of the fundraiser, the importance of the membership pledges, because there's going to come in time where we got to have it. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Jim. All right, Ellen.
Thank you, Jinryu. I am going to devote more time, a little bit more time to talking about teacher salary too, but I just wanted to get back to the idea of since we're concluding the fundraiser, we just did, our theme was Sangha as Refuge Awakening Together. That's the title of the campaign. And it really only takes a quick glance at the website to see how much is happening and how the list of offerings grows all the time. So I'll tell you a little bit about what those numbers look like currently for our fundraiser. We've raised $14,600 for this fiscal year, 2023, which surpassed our goal of $13,000. So that's wonderful. That was an important element for us to have funds in place by the end of the year, in order to balance the budget, of course, in practical terms, and allowing us to continue to make the Dharma available to all, as is in our mission statement, in both the dirt and cloud sendos. So those one-time donations and pledge increases were very helpful in making that happen. Thank you so much for everyone who donated. And of course, we're pleased to announce that the pledged total through 2024 is $19,140. You can find that all on the website too. And every nonprofit organization needs to raise funds depending on what they do and who they are. And everyone's needs are different. And for us, our needs are focused on, cultivating both the dirt and cloud zendos and everything that goes into that. As Jinryu was saying, if us in the cloud don't live there, we don't necessarily connect with all of the things that the facility needs, and all of the things, all of the coordination that it takes from people who volunteer, practice leaders and people who come in to clean which is just a wonderful kind of type of participation that grows the community. and keeps it cohesive. And of course, we want to continue to provide these rich and varied programs, all of the practice opportunities. I mean, you know, the fact that Domeo already has 2024 laid out on the calendar is amazing to me, because there is so much. But most importantly to me, I mean, Domeo said, you know, we're talking about being able to support a full-time position, a living wage for any teacher. I want to support a living wage for Domeo Burke. that's just me, you know. I mean, that she's why I came to Brightway. I told her at first when I first attended, after she had said it on the podcast, I said that I was like a fangirl. And I still am, because I had been listening to the podcast for a couple of years prior to that. So I could hardly believe my luck that now I could join. So I know a lot of you came from the same place, and that you appreciate all she does, but I'm not even sure we even understand all she does. Because it's almost hard, impossible for me. I just marvel at it. There's just so much. And the fact that she's an incredibly skillful teacher. So when you put all that together and then look at what we're currently paying her, you know, I think that we can all agree it's not quite where it needs to be. It's not at all where it needs to be. So I don't mind saying that that would be my focus as chair of the board to get that going. And I encourage everyone, if you have not donated yet, I'll keep this quick. It's not too late to donate. You can still go online, click that button, make a donation, whatever form makes sense to you. And yeah, help, you know, with keep all the things going that you appreciate. For me, the cloud has become its own refuge. It's enormous for me. So I know that we share that. So thank you everybody for all that you do, and thank you Domeo for all that you do specifically. So grateful. And now a word from, I think it's a word from Erica. Is that right? Wait, let me get back to my notes here. Yeah. Erica's going to talk about volunteering and service opportunities.
Hi, everybody. I am just going to share a really short presentation here about our volunteering. So as you've been hearing, we are most definitely a hybrid organization. And to keep a hybrid organization running, we don't just need volunteers here in the Dirt Zendo. We also have a very robust cloud community, and we have volunteers that help there as well. And so as you've been hearing, you know, Domeo is pretty much a one-woman band. She's running a lot of things by herself. I didn't have an appreciation of just how much until I started volunteering as her administrative assistant, and I was blown away. But in addition, we have so many of us an opportunity to help in our own way by volunteering. And so these numbers that I'm going to show you are from the practice positions master spreadsheet, which Domeo and I created and which you can access on our website. So we actually have quite a number of volunteer teams. So that includes keeping things running in the Dirt Zendo, the Cloud Zendo, as well as administration. So we have the leadership team. We have a ceremonial team, which helps with, you know, timekeeping. We have an instrument team, a guest team, the actual Dirt Zendo caretaking, cooking team when we have Sashin. We have our board, finance team, Sangha building, digital, audiovisual, and administration. And in addition to that, we also have four groups that are meeting, and that is run by volunteers as well. So the book group, the death and dying grief, and the podcast discussion group. And so I tallied it all up, and it's actually 123 different positions. So quite a number of positions, and it's staffed by 47 different people. And as Mick was saying, we have about 100 members. So really about half of us already are volunteering, which I think is incredibly impressive. And of course, what that means too, is that many volunteers have more than one role. So an average are two or three roles per person. So that being said, we're always looking for more volunteers. So if you're here and you're local, a lot of the work that has to be done in person involves opening and closing, greeting potential new members, being a Sangha connector. We have people that are just cleaners, which can be done as infrequently as, you know, a quarterly basis. And then, as I was saying, in the cloud, there's opportunities as well to be the person who hosts, and then to have videographers and recording editors as well. So you may be wondering, if you're not already a volunteer, why it's a good idea. I find really that it's a chance to show up for your practice. I'm the kind of person, I need to be held accountable to do something. And this is a great way to do that. And it's also a chance to connect with other people when you do it. As we've been looking at, we have a very lean budget for everything that we do. And the volunteering helps to keep our Sangha running on this budget. But also then the more people who volunteer, the fewer times people actually have to do it, which can be great. Or, you know, sometimes things come up and somebody has to say, I can't come today, and then there are more people who can step in and help. But in addition to that, you know, we have this lineage where we want to be of service to other people. And I was looking up what, you know, volunteering means in Buddhism, and it is seen as an act of generosity. So it's a generosity not just to your Sangha, but I think just to the practice itself. And so also, you know, we're following the positions, those 12 different teams I was talking about, we're following the positions that are found in a traditional monastery, which I think is pretty cool that we can recreate that here. So it's leading us all to have a more authentic experience. So if you are concerned about how much time it takes to volunteer, it really is totally up to you. It can just be a few hours a year cleaning, doing it on your own time, to, you know, just volunteering once or twice a month, or every week. It's really completely up to you. So yeah, if you haven't thought about volunteering and you haven't done it before, if you have any questions about it, you can just email info@brightwaysmen.org. And last of all, thank you so much to the half of us who are already volunteering. Yay. Thank you.
Okay, certainly not least, we're going to hear from Domio about some future plans, strategic planning ideas.
Can you stop sharing?
All right. Okay. Were there any, sorry. Were there any questions or anything about the volunteering stuff before I begin? Hey, get my get my amplification back up here. Okay. Our strategic planning, our thinking about the future. All of the stuff that I'm going to say today is on the website. And also on the website is like the board along with pictures, who is on the board, our volunteering spreadsheet is on there. Somewhere you can find our budget, you can find our board minutes. So there's, if you're curious about any more about this stuff, it's all on the website. So I'm talking about our strategic plan, which is like, we're not all wound up about our strategic plan, but we acknowledge that unless you have thought about the future, what direction you're going in, like things can get kind of aimless. You just, you know, identify, you know, what general direction you want to go. It's very helpful for prioritizing and making plans and making it happen. So we have a mission and vision statement. They're very beautiful. We had specific areas that we were looking to work on. So just for fun, I'll just read our mission statement. Our mission is to help people find spiritual peace, deepen their wisdom, and manifest compassion. We do this by providing access to the teachings and practices of Soto Zen Buddhism, maintaining a harmonious and welcoming spiritual community, and supporting a vital and sustainable Zen center that will be here for future generations. So we really focused on that, you know, providing access to authentic teachings and practices, an emphasis on community, that being a harmonious and welcoming community, and then this sustainable. I only have a few minutes left, so I'm going to wrap it up. We did a wonderful job on this strategic plan, but it was dated 2019 through 2022. So we've been operating for a year. I mean, we just kind of kept around the strategic plan. But honestly, if you look at it, we did this very professionally with the help of Thomas Bruner. And it's very specific, like tactics and goals and areas. It's not just like, oh, we want to do this big thing, right? It has quite a lot of specifics, which you will see need to be somewhat updated. But when we did this, this was pre-Cloud Zendo. So everything's kind of shifted. We really need to update this. Like Erica just helped me update the mission statement, a vision statement, because we had something in there about being accessible to people in Washington County. And we're like, well, half our members don't live in Washington County anymore. So we updated that. But I guess I will just, the most important aspects, we could do a whole meeting on this. Some of the most important aspects of fulfilling our mission is that financial stability, which we've already said some stuff about, but the plan doesn't just talk about that. That's just one of the three areas. Deepening member engagement and sharing the Dharma with more people are our two other areas of emphasis. And so it includes building a community and mentoring people through different relationships to this community, so that if something happens to me, which you know, inevitably will. And this actually just happened to a Zen center in Portland. Their teacher, they lost their teacher and the Zen center fell apart. Mm-hmm. Because it's very important for senior members who want to learn not just, you know, this little volunteer role or that little volunteer role, but really take ownership, you know, to be part of the board, to learn the ceremonies, to do enough study that you can start helping to lead classes, to really carry our lineage's dharma. So that is something that I know I'm looking toward, and I see it happening. And I was just sitting here listening to this meeting and listening to people's presentations, and it just felt, I just felt so proud. I just felt so proud. It's like, look at this thing that like, it's getting a life of its own, and people are speaking, they're speaking about it, not just like Endomia told me to say, right? Like they're speaking about it. They understand it. And that is just a very, very wonderful thing for me to see. So in terms of what, we got to get strategic planning going again. If you are somebody who likes that kind of thing and it's up your alley, let us know. But stay tuned. I mean, we will make one eventually. And in the meantime, what you find on the website is a general vision. One thing that I would kind of like to add to the vision, but I will be discussing it not only with the board, but also involving the whole Sangha, because you don't want to just have a small group of people say, this is what our vision is. If the Sangha doesn't buy into it as a whole, it's not going to happen. So one thing I would like to add to it is that I would like us to own our own place someday. And what I would envision is a community center, very human scaled, kind of like a big house place for us, a home, a real home, so that our efforts go into enhancing that home. And if you are in town, you can come there. It's your home away from home. That would provide a lot of another level of maturity and stability for the dirt Zendo. But I also think it, you know, all of these benefits benefit filter to those in the cloud as well. And I love to think of like, come to town, stay at the Zen Center, right? You could come, you'd have a place to stay. You'd have a place to visit. So I will just leave it there. Any questions or comments? Betty.
Related to a location, mm-hmm. are you, meaning global you,
yeah,
royal you, looking currently for another location, either to rent, because who knows what will happen, or to buy, and where? What's your sort of geographic limit?
Yeah, so that's why we had in the strategic plan, we specifically said Washington County. So we have this idea, you know, we don't want to move really any direction we moved would really suck for somebody. Like Katie comes from the east side, right? So if we move any further west, you know, so ideally we stay kind of as close to where we are as possible, but you know, who knows? But yeah, we're not looking at anything right now. If we started doing our strategic planning, we probably would go, you know, we probably should be like at least to really have a sense of what is out there. And then in terms of like my dream of owning a place, you know, we need to do the proper research into, you know, what kind of loan could our Sangha even get? That's some tricky stuff to wade through. So we haven't really started doing any of that research, but if we did suddenly lose this place and we just had to like, all right, we got to, and we do have a lease, but it is, we pretty much only go year to year. So, if we had to move, so we're paying around $1,700 a month, which is for this area is great. We have the whole building, we have a parking lot, we don't even pay utilities. So that's amazing. If we were to get an equivalent space anywhere nearby, it would really be more like $3,500 or something. And we'd be lucky to find something that worked as well. So we're not looking right now because this works so well, but yeah, that, so then suddenly
we have that increase in monthly expenses, which would be just like, eh. Cinco.
I'm going to preface this by saying, forgive me, because I know I'm in the cloud and I'm not local to Washington County. So hello from Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to bring forward the idea that someone in the Sangha probably has a relationship with a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And if the Sangha had a friendly real estate agent to kind of create a warm relationship now before it's a crisis, and that I hate to say, gosh, that sounds like another committee, but gosh, that sounds like another committee, which would be dedicated to being aware, like having seven or eight eyes on the problem, because somebody will see something that mm-hmm. deserves a second look. So my two suggestions are, somebody knows somebody who might possibly could develop a warm relationship with a real estate agent now, as a passive warm relationship. But then secondly, if Brightway Zen Center, the board thought it was a good idea, possibly having a subcommittee or a executive function for real estate, just keeping eyes on the ground for looking for possibilities, that just to be aware of something that might come up. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. And that's a great suggestion. And I actually have a realtor that I love. And I had him look into a house that I noticed was because what's really amazing is if you find a house that is commercially zoned.
Yeah.
So you don't have to do zoning issue stuff. So this was a commercially zoned house. And I had him look into it a little bit. And he said, basically, you gotta go to the bank and get your ducks in a row. Like, it's not even, I'm not even going to book a showing when you guys have no idea, you know, how or what kind of loan you could get. So that's definitely something we gotta do. And it's very difficult for a Sangha to do that. I mean, if you imagine, you know, if we said, we have $30,000 in the bank, and, you know, they're like, look at your income, you can't afford it. Like, So that's one of the reasons to just kind of build our regular income, even if we don't necessarily need it at the moment, to just build that capacity. Well, that seems like a very fruitful meeting. Ellen, do you want to wrap it up for us, or?
Wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for coming and for donating. And again, a pitch for if you haven't already and you want to, visit the website. Do you want to do the closing, Domio?
Sure.
Okay.
We dedicate the merit of this Sangha meeting to all, so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Rajna Paramita.